And just hope you have a good one. And if you young people ain't bought your mom and daddy and grandpa and grandma something for thanks for Christmas, you better get busy. Tell them to give you some money to buy them a present. It's easier. It's easier to give money when you know you're getting a present with it. So. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Thank you for a good place to rest this afternoon. Thank you, Brother Snow, for the good dinner. And Brother Jody, I'm so glad I preached a lot of times and mentioned Jody and Ken. I was just out in Bond in September, out in Kentucky, and Ken's out there, and he's doing good. Him and his wife and family are doing good. He's got his boys now. And Ken, y'all, how many here are from Texas? Raise your hand. Ken had on a brand new pair of cowboy boots. You can take the boy out of Texas, but you cannot get Texas out of the boy. And as I walked by, I took my foot and just thumped the edge of his cowboy boot to let him know. And I want to tell you this, too. At one night during bond meeting, he pretty near shouted them cowboy boots off. I never seen Ken get so fired up and stomp the ground shout like that before. But he really got all excited. He was highly agitated. And Jody, I've told about how far the Lord brought Brother Jody, and now he's building a house. I've told that several places, Jody, about your house. If you'll serve the Lord, if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ, he can fix things. You know it? He can fix things. He can. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. Now we're going to jump right in the middle of a story here, okay? And this story, Absalom had taken, Absalom was David's son, and he had stolen the kingdom away from David. And right here where we're reading, David and just a few people have left their home and they're on their way trying to get out. When King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Cut his head off. The king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai unto all his servants, behold, my son which cometh forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamin do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. If you would look at verse 12 for just a moment, David said, and I love this, it may be, who knows? Isn't that what, it may be, right. Now what, who knows? It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me. That phrase, will requite me, that means that the Lord, who knows, the Lord may turn this around. Right. That's what that means, may turn this around. And give me good for the bad I'm getting right now. Right now, I'm getting bad. Right now, I'm getting trouble. Right now, I'm having problems.
Yes, Lord.
But who knows?
Yes, Lord.
The Lord may turn this around.
Thank you, Jesus.
And give me good.
Thank you.
For the bad I'm getting right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what I want to preach on, the turnaround. And may God help us. You can be seated.
Help us.
Amen. Thank God for good days. Every day's not a good day.
Right.
Thank God for good days. I read a story a few years ago about a little boy that had a horrible disease, and they said it would put him flat of his back for 20 days at a time. Might have been a Reader's Digest. They interviewed that little boy, and they said, "Man, how do you bear up under that horrible disease?" And he thought for a minute. I could just see his little face, you know, 20 days at a time, terrible sick, and then 10 days he'd feel good. "How do you bear up under it?" He said, "Well, I play on the good days. I play on the good days."
All right.
And now that's pretty good attitude.
Thank you.
Play on the good days. That's what I do. I play on the good days.
Amen.
Thank God for good health. Thank God for the days when you feel well. Thank God when you've got plenty of money. Somebody said, "What is plenty of money?" Enough money to pay all the bills on time and go to Cracker Barrel when you get on. Amen. Thank God when there's peace in your home. It's wonderful when everything is going good, but one day can change things. You know that?
Amen.
I read a story about a man that had a white horse. They said it was the most beautiful horse in the whole kingdom. So beautiful that even the king wanted that white horse. And you know what? One day this it was an elderly man that owned him. And his white horse ran off. And all the neighbors come over and said, "This is bad." He said, "Who can tell?" 2 weeks later, his white horse come back and had 14 wild Mustangs with it and led him into the corral. The neighbors came over and said, "Oh, this is good." He said, "Who can tell?" His son was out there trying to break one of the Mustangs and fell off and broke his arm. Here come the neighbors. "This is bad." He said, "Who can tell?" The country broke out in war and all the boys had to go except for his son because he had a broken arm. Here come the neighbors. "This is good." He said, "Who can tell?" And that's kind of the way it is. Who can tell what one day will bring? One day can change a lot of things. I don't know if this has anything to do with good days and bad days, but I like the story. This farmer went to the banker and he said, "I've got some good news and some bad news." The banker said, "Well, give me the bad news first." The farmer said, "The bad news is that $450,000 I borrowed on the farm, I'm not going to, we got a banker here. I'm not going to be able to pay a bit of it back. Amen. And my truck that I borrowed $50,000 on, I'm not going to be able to pay that back. I'm completely broke, banker. I don't have a dime in my name." The banker said, "Okay, if that's the bad news, what's the good news?" The farmer looked up and said, "The good news is I want to keep banking with y'all." I don't know. Well, I guess he was having a bad day, but he was hoping for better days. You know that? Even Jesus had bad days. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We have not a high priest," that's talking about Jesus, "which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." I want to talk to you about David, though. David's triumphs, David's trouble, and David's turnaround. You know, David had a lot of triumphs. I don't know if there's anybody in the Bible that had had more glorious triumphs than David. Amen. Just about every little child has heard the story of David and Goliath. Well, I'll tell you what, David had a bunch of triumphs. I like to read about David's calling in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Amen. Samuel came down to Jesse's house and he said, "Peaceably I'm come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called him to the sacrifice. See, God sent Samuel down to Jesse's house to anoint one of his sons to be king. And so Samuel, he didn't know which one. And as best I can figure out, Jesse had 7 or 8 boys. And so he said, "All right, let's see the first one." And I guess so Jesse must run the best he had through first. And he ran Eliab through. And I've always pictured in my mind, Eliab must have been handsome. And Samuel thought, "Well, if I got to look at a picture of a king, it'd be good if he was handsome. I believe he's the one. I'm going to dump oil on him." You're right, Sister Bobby. God said he's not the one. After him come another one. And I always pictured him. He was a bodybuilder. He had big muscles. And Samuel said, "Woo, that's what we need, a strong king." And God said, nope, he's not the one, you know. The next one comes through and he's real smart. What can you do? X equals negative B plus or minus the square root of 4AC over B squared. Beep. Oh, that's what we need. A smart one. God said, he's not the one. They kept running them through. And finally, Samuel said, you got any more boys? I got one more, but
yeah. Oh God.
He ain't much. He's a little old squirt. He's up there watching the sheep. The Bible says his cheeks are ruddy. That means he was still so little. His cheeks were rosy and pink like a little, like a young boy's. And Samuel said, well, go get him. We'll look him over. And he come in there, and I can see him. Evan standing there and all his big old brothers standing around him. Hey, boys. And then Samuel said, dump the oil on him. He's the one. That's him. Woo! That was a great day, wasn't it? He dumped that oil down on David's head. I'll tell you, that was a wonderful thing. It must have been a great day. Now, Brother Samuel, it's wonderful when you get invited to preach in a camp meeting.
All right.
You know, I've preached in some camp meetings before. I preached in one or two with a few thousand. I was just a fill-in preacher. And, you know, for a pastor to preach in a meeting like that, it's just an opportunity. For an evangelist to preach in a meeting like that, if he doesn't do good, it can be career changing. You know what we say? He blew it away. Some preacher preaches real good and God helps him and everybody breaks out shouting and rejoicing and praying. And we say, man, he blew it away. But how would you like to have been a little mouse and been sitting on a rock that day that Samuel or that David had the whole armies of Israel behind him and the Philistines in front of him and Goliath out there. And he stood in front of him and slung that stone and it sunk in Goliath's head and he fell over like an oak tree. And the Bible said David went out there and climbed up on his chest. Stood on his chest and pulled Goliath's sword out and cut his head off and held it up and all the Israelites let out a war cry and went to chasing them Philistines. And I, in my mind, I'm preaching on he had his triumphs. When they come back, old David's standing there and all of them slapping him on the back. Man, you the man. You the man. That was a good day.
Amen.
It was a good day when David was anointed king of Israel. It was a good day when he was anointed king of Israel. It was a good day when the three Hebrew children had the fourth man in the fire with them, wasn't it?
Right.
It was a good day when Daniel was in the lion's den and that angel showed up and pinched the lion's mouth shut. It was a good day when Haman came and said, Mordecai, I want to get you and put you on the king's horse and lead you through the city. That was a good day. It was a good day when Jeremiah was down in that pit full of mire and that Ethiopian eunuch come and let the ropes down and pulled him out. Those were good days. And do you want to stop right there?
Oh, God.
You want me to just stop right there and leave it in all good days? I'd be lying to you.
Amen.
Not all good days.
Amen.
David had his trouble.
That's right.
In the story here, Absalom had rebelled against David. For 40 years, when people come through the gate, Absalom would let them cry on his shoulder, shake their hand. You know, they'd say, I'll tell you, things just ain't fair. And he'd hold their hand and say, you're right. You're right. Oh, if I was king, it'd be better. And he stole the kingdom. Man, the Bible said they blew the trumpet and declared Absalom the king. And David had to flee for his life with just a few people. Just a few people out of his house. And then some other people came with him. But I'll tell you what, friend. Every day is not a good day. Let me read you this real quick. I've always liked parakeets. How many here know what parakeets are?
Amen.
Do you kids know what parakeets are? That's them little bird people having a cake. Not a parrot, parakeet, little bird. My mama loved parakeets. I grew up in a house with parakeet. My mama had a parakeet all the time. My first funeral I ever preached was for a parakeet. Mama's parakeet died. And I called all the little neighborhood kids over behind the house. And we dug a hole, put him in a matchbox, Brother Jody, and Kleenexes for rolled him up, put him in the ground. And I preached him right into parakeet heaven. All them little neighborhood kids crying. They were crying. I like parakeets. Well, this is a story I'm preaching on. David's trouble.
All right.
Chippy the parakeet. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem began when Chippy's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She took the nozzle off the end and stuck the hose in his cage. About that time the phone rang and she turned her head. Chippy was sucked up. The bird's owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, opened the bag, and there was poor Chippy the parakeet, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered in dust and soot, she grabbed him, raced for the bathroom, turned on the hot water faucet, helped Chippy under the running water, then realizing that he was soaked, amen, and thorough, about half drowned, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She grabbed the blow dryer and blasted him with hot air and proceeded to roast him. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, a reporter who'd initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. Well, she replied, I like this right here. Chippy don't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. It's not hard to see why. He was sucked in, washed up, blown over. That's enough to steal any songbird's heart. Sometimes, as a preacher, I have mistaken trouble for rebellion. I have got on to people before for not getting in. They were just sitting and staring. And I failed to realize that it wasn't because they were rebellious, but it was because of what they had happened to them. Trouble came their way. The great trials come to everybody that serves God. It's not all going to be good. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, I wish I could tell you, if you serve God, it's all, you're never going to have no trouble, but it's not that way. It's not that way, friend. I wish I could say, if you give your heart to God, you're never going to have another difficult day, but it's not true. Amen. Paul said, Paul was one of the greatest men in the Bible. And he said, I speak as a fool, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, and deaths often. 5 times the Jews gave me 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned almost to death. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeys often I've been robbed by robbers. I've been in perils. I've been attacked by mobs. On and on and on. The list goes, friend. David had his triumphs, but David had his troubles. In this story right here, I read to you, in one day, everything changed for David. This is what he lost in one day. I made a list of the things I could discern. In one day, he lost his job. He wasn't king no more. That same day, he lost his home. He had to leave home. He lost, in that same day, his family was broken up, and he realized his son Absalom was backslid. In one day, this is a real story. He faced uncertainty. He faced depression. He faced the loss of many friends, including his most beloved friend, Ahithophel. A little later on, he faced the death of a son. And the portion of scripture I read to you, David is leaving. He's leaving his home. He's leaving everything dear to him. He's got his head down. He's defeated. He's going through it. And at the lowest point in his life, when somebody should have been encouraging him and somebody should have been lifting him up, this guy Shimei shows up and throws dirt at him and curses him. That's what's going on in this story here. Amen. And when he's at his lowest, he is mocked by this man. This man is mocking David in this portion of scripture. In verse 7, amen, he said, thou art a man of Belial. He called him a devil. David, you're a devil. In verse 8, he told him more than once, God is against you. Another place in verse 8, he said, he stuck the knife in and twisted it off. Your own son is king. God is against you. You are a sinner. Mocking is an act of ridicule or derision or scorn and makes someone the object of laughter. The devil's behind the mocking spirit. Sarah heard the mockers when Hagar conceived, the Bible said. Joseph heard the mockers when he told his brothers his dreams. Mordecai, believe if anybody ever heard hell's mockers, he must have, after he wouldn't stand when Haman went through the gate and they declared that every Jew in the whole country was to be murdered because of Mordecai. Nehemiah heard the mockers. You remember when he's building the wall? Job heard the mocker, his own wife, curse God and die. Amen. Jesus heard the mockers, thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. There are 7 verses associated with the crucifixion where they mocked Jesus. Amen. Jude 1 and 18 said there would be mockers in the last time. Amen. This man mocked David. Now, I appreciate this about David. Number one, do you remember me reading you where, let me get his name again. Amen. Where this fella, Abishai, said, David, let me go over and cut his head off. You remember that?
Right.
Hey, David. See, he was a general from another country that went with him. He was there. Let me just go over there and cut his head off. David said, no, because if you cut his head off, then it'll give the enemies of the Lord occasion. They'll say, why have you done so? They'll criticize us for that. David, number one, when he was at his lowest point, he did not take things into his own hands. You got to make sure when you're going through something, you don't take things into your own hands. I've seen a lot of people, brother Snow, that when they came to the most difficult time in their life, they tried to look for help in human reasoning. Amen. They made decisions that tied God's hands to where God could not give them a turnaround. And I want to tell you something, friend. Amen. You make sure that when you are in the middle of a situation of troubles and trials, don't take hold of it with the arm of the flesh. Look at the spirit of humility that David had. David eyed the hand of the Lord in it. He had the chastened spirit of a child of God. My son that cometh forth out of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamin do it? Let him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Amen. I want to tell you something. Hell mocked David and hell made fun of David. But David realized that if he maintained his integrity with God and did what the Bible said, that God could turn it around. Too many situations can no longer be turned around. Because somebody took hold of it with an arm of the flesh and closed the door on God to be able to turn it back. And let me say this, when you're going through something, I got to get a drink, my voice has got to say, Christy, that stuff. When you're going through something, you act like a Christian when you're going through it. David acted like a Christian on the most difficult day of his life. He acted like a Christian. He didn't blame God. He didn't pitch a fit. There was one guy cussing. The sinner was cussing. David didn't pitch fit and shake his fist in the hand of God. He acted like a Christian. He didn't get red in the face and shake his finger at the preacher. He acted like a Christian, didn't he? You maintain integrity with God. And God can work. I'm preaching something right to you. If you'll live right before the Lord, God can move for you.
Amen.
Let me read you a verse or two that's been so real to me, if I can find them here. I've got some verses. Listen to this. I hope I can find them, but there are verses on integrity. I misplaced them somewhere. But I'll tell you what, friend, the Bible speaks much about integrity. You know that? It speaks much about us maintaining integrity with God. And when we maintain integrity with God, then God can turn things around for us.
Amen.
There's something to that.
Amen.
Things aren't going good. Looks like everything's falling apart. Looks like there's trouble on every horizon. And now this man's cursing and mocking David. And David's still conducting himself like a Christian man and trusting God. And then he said this. It may be. I don't know, but it may be. Right now I'm getting bad. Right now there's nothing but bad coming my way. Right now there's nothing but trouble coming my way. Right now it's been heartache after heartache after heartache. It may be that the Lord will turn this thing around and give me good for all of the bad that I'm getting. Brother Don, I've had tons of bad. Well, I'll tell you what. If you'll hold on to God and act like a Christian, He might just turn it around and give you tons of good in place of the bad. I'll tell you what. God began to turn this around in 2 Samuel. There's no hope for God to do anything if you don't do what you're supposed to do. 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 9. Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught a hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and hell, heaven and earth. And the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. The minute that Absalom's head or hair or whatever it was got caught in that oak tree, Absalom was king and commander of the armies that were against David. The minute his head got caught in that oak tree, this thing began to turn around. Absalom said, I can't tarry with you. Or Joab said, I can't tarry with you. And I may not tarry thus. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. The minute Absalom's heart quit beating, that thing began to turn around. I said, the minute Absalom's heart quit beating, that thing began to turn around. And this is what I find interesting. It was turning around, and David did not know it. Because the Bible said David was in a stronghold, and they had not even brought him news that the battle was taking place, that the battle had taken place. He didn't know yet. God had already turned it around. And he did not even know it. He's still having a bad day, and God was turning it around. You may be here tonight and you say, Brother Don, it's just been trouble on top of trouble. And you don't even know it. And God may already be turning it around. You don't even know it's happening. It was some time before David got word. Amen. And I love this story. I love the little details in the Bible. You know, David came back into his kingdom. And this cussing guy, this rock throwing, dirt pitching cussing guy, man, he was feeling pretty smug. I told David off. I taught him a lesson. I called him a devil. I told him God was judging him. I'm going to tell you what. The devil, when God turns things around, he wish he hadn't messed with the child of God. You know that when God turns it around. That man, he's sitting at his table. And the messenger comes his window and said, I told David. I mocked David. I'm feeling pretty good. And a messenger comes his window and said, hey, have you heard? Absalom, the general, the king, our army's commander, has been killed in battle. Can't you just see beads of sweat popping out on Jimmy I's forehead now? Huh? Let's go. Come on, let's go into his house. Can't you see beads of sweat? Can't you see his head and hands begin to tremble? Hey, Jimmy I, have you heard David is coming back? He's trembling now, shaking now, beads of sweat on. He's coming back? Yeah, he's on his way back. God has turned it around. Look what he does. You know, he probably wished, I wish I'd have never went down there that day. Amen. And let me get it. I love to read this little bit right here. So king returned and came to Jordan. Verse 16, Shimei hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There was a lot of people there, and they went over the ferry boat and brought the king back over. And Shimei fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And he said to the king, I love this. Now, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. You know, David, I was calling you a devil. Well, I was just kidding. You know, he was calling David a sinner. And now he's saying, I have sinned. And he said, don't impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely in the day that my Lord went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart. I mean, he cursed the king, he mocked the king, he rubbed it in, and now he's saying, oh, come on, what did he say? We just forget about it. My brother-in-law John's about 300 pounds. 290, 300, 6'6". He had a fellow tailgating when he was a young man. I still remember going around the square in Macon. Jody, this is a boxing story. You might like this. And John didn't like this fellow tailgating. My great big old mountain of a brother-in-law. He jumped out of his car. He wasn't a Christian back in. Went back and opened the door of the car behind and pulled the guy out. The guy in the back was a boy named Roger Jones who just got out of pen. And he was rough. I've known Roger all his life. And John reared back, wound up with all 300 pounds, and hit Roger Jones right in the jaw. And when he did, he threw that punch so hard that he threw his shoulder out of socket, and he couldn't raise his arm. And he hollered, wait, wait, wait! And Roger Jones, being the gentleman he was, said, it's too late to say, wait, you done throwed the first punch. And he put knots all over my brother-in-law, John. He come home. He was in bad shape. I told him, I said, John, don't throw the first punch and then holler, wait, because it's too late once you started to fight. Well, that's what this guy did. Wait, wait, wait now. No, it's too late, pal. David's back. Let's turn this thing around. Amen. Now, in verse 20, this old cussing guy said, now I know I have sinned, and I've come first of all of the house of Joseph to go down and meet my Lord the King. And I love it. Here's Abishai again. He said, hey, Dave, can I go over and cut his head off now? No. I probably would have thought about it, but I'll tell you what, friend. All through the Bible, there are people that face things, but they held on to God. God turned it around for Naomi and Ruth. God turned it around for Esther and Mordecai. God turned it around for the three Hebrew children. God turned it around for Daniel. Jeremiah, God turned it around for Jesus Christ on Calvary. Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. If you hold on to God, God will turn it around. I can think of some people I have met along the way. I can think of one Christian we met. And she woke up one day and her whole world was turned upside down. Not in this church, in another church. Long ways from here. One day her whole world was turned upside down. And you know what that lady did? She buckled down and got as devoted and as faithful to God as any Christian woman I've ever met. And I'm going to tell you what God did. God turned that situation around. It's your only hope. I feel the Holy Ghost. It's your only hope. If you'll be faithful to God, God can turn it around. Stand with me. Somebody get us a song. I won't keep you standing long. Friend, I can guarantee you this. God will give you victory if you'll hold on to Him. If you hold on to Him. I've had people stand in front of me. I had a man and woman in a revival standing in front of me. They were involved in a business with another man, and they didn't know it. And he broke the law, and they said, "Brother Don, if God doesn't move, it's Christian people. We're going to prison because we're part owners in that company." But God turned it around. On and on and on the list goes of people that needed to turn around. Hold on to God. No matter whether it's financially, whether it's a problem in your home, whether it's a situation in your life. Who knows, brother? Who knows, sister? It may be. It may be that the Lord will turn this around and give you good for the bad. All right. Brother Don, I need to turn around. Come up here and stand. Come up here. No matter what it is, God knows. I need God to turn it around, Brother Samuel. You help me. We're going to pray for folk. I need to turn around. It could be on your job. It could be in your finances. It could be your health. It could be in your life. But I got to have a turnaround. I got to have one. Come on. It's bad right now. But hold on to God. It may be. It may be that the Lord will give you good for the bad. Let's pray, Brother Samuel. Let's pray, church. We're going to go down through and pray with you, but let's all pray. Come on. Everyone would come up and pray.